What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Weird Albums. I am Jay from the Masters of None podcast. With me is Jay Shinoin. What's up, man?
Oh, no. Didn't we already do this?
We did already do this, but we had audio issues. And
oh,
so we're re-recording. Jay, I just got home from a long day at work. I found deep in the depths of like my garage backup fridge a full sugar Red Bull, which I haven't drank since like I was 16, and these came out in stores for the first time.
Listen, Al Army, I don't want you to ever underestimate our dedication to you and this show. Jay literally got home from work about 5 minutes ago. I am packing a suitcase to go on vacation and hang out with minions at Hogwarts, but I've taken time away from that. They're usually not at the Hogwarts part of the park, that's fair. I've taken time away from that because there's a time crunch and this episode needs to come out next week. And yeah, there were awful audio issues. We do have some of our interview time with Nathan Rabin. It was a Nathan Rabin episode centric around the man that wrote the Weird Al book. We have an interview with him that we were able to salvage, but yeah, this is going to be round two. We're gonna have to redo Bad Hair Day for everybody.
Yeah, the bye-bow. So you'll hear in the interview that we'll jump into a little bit of that we salvaged in the beginning. In the middle of this episode, you'll hear like kind of where it sounds like Jay's like speaking to like a stadium full of people. It's like weird echo and cracklings. There's weird cracklings going on. It's a nightmare. But anyway, we're going to redo the rest of the episode right now. And it's okay, because it's Jay's favorite, and he's going to just go off the rails. I'm doing rails of Red Bull right now.
Now, listen, I yelled at you. We're basically just going to repeat the whole episode, it seems, because I yelled at you last time for prefacing this by calling it my favorite one.
I did that twice now.
I am still hesitant to give anyone the satisfaction of knowing what's going to be at the top of my list at the end of this series. However, this is the first Weird album that I bought. It is the second compact disc that I bought with my own money. I absolutely love this record. I'm not going to use the word favorite, but good God, it's a good one. It's way up there for sure.
All right. Let's dive into it. Bad Hair Day from what year, Jay?
1996. This is the ninth studio album. This is our episode 9. We got 12 tracks here, 5 parodies, 6 originals, 1 polka. And Jay, from here on out, the discography of Weird Al, every single album, I believe, has the potential to destroy whatever ranking I had previously been working on. So,
wow.
So that's why the word favorite is going to be a little bit irrelevant for pretty much the rest of the discography. We are entering what I believe to be the high point of the discography.
All right, let's dig into it. The lead track, it was a huge one. It's famous for one of the big songs that Al thought he got permission for, but he didn't. And then Coolio was mad at him. And it's Amish Paradise, a parody of Gangsta's Paradise. Let's take a listen.
I'm the pious guy, the little omelets wanna be like, on my knees day and night, scoring points for the afterlife. So don't be vain and don't be whiny, or else my brother, I might have to get medieval on your hiney. We've been spending most of our lives.
Are Amish people allowed to drink Red Bull? Or is that like against their... There's got to be some sort of chemical, like electric packing compound factory thing that goes against their religion, right?
I think wings are analog. I think they're allowed to use those. I also think we should definitely not cut to you talking about Red Bull after we play like the biggest parody of the dude's career up to this point, almost. I'll say that probably like Eat It or Fat may have just edged out, but certainly this is, when you think Weird Al in the 90s, this is the song starts playing in your head. And furthermore, with all the critiques that were thrown at the previous album of him seeming a little out of touch with the music of the time, and after the Nirvana nail on the head of the early 90s, it seemed like he was suddenly out of touch with the 90s. Track one, right here. I know it's not a current song now, but at the time, you guys, oh, it was. It was a huge hit. And this is absolutely, in my opinion, Al being like, oh, you think I'm out of touch? Show you. I got my finger on the pulse. Coolio and Amish people. That's what everyone's into right now in 96.
Yeah, it was huge back in the day, man.
It was that Michelle Pfeiffer movie was pretty big too. And
yeah, another weird soundtrack movie tie-in. What is with Weird Al and the movie soundtrack movies? The songs, I mean.
I think that might kind of be the way that certain genres of popular music find their way to him.
You think?
I think he might. He's obviously a huge new wave guy and has been for his whole career. I think hip-hop might be more difficult for him to find what he wants to parody on, and so he needs to wait until some streetwise motion picture comes out.
That's fair. This is fun. There's a bunch of good rhymes in there, some fun wordplay. I like how, you know, in the past, my critiques of some of Al's songs are mainly about how, like, the words don't fit the, like, the syllables or the rhyme scheme exactly like the original.
Yeah.
And this one nails it, though. Like, he's got all kinds of great rhymes, lots of Amish names and jobs and things that they do. And they all, like, I feel like it almost, like, 100% fits every syllable.
It
in
does.
The song.
And that is why it hurts so much when he does not put that effort into it, because we know you're capable of it, and we know the result that you get when you do put that effort in, and it's the pinnacle. It's the absolute top of musical parody that anyone is capable of. So, Al, when you shy a little bit below that, we don't like it as much, because you're so much better. You're so much better than that, and Amish Paradise proves it.
All right, let's do track two.
This is my favorite original on the album. This is one of my favorite Weird Al songs of all time.
I think I agree with you. It's They Might Be Giants, Pistachio. It's Everything You Know Is Wrong. So I had them send me back to last Thursday night so I could pay my phone bill on time. Just then the floating disembodied head of Colonel Sanders started yelling, everything you know is wrong. Black is white, up is down, and short is wrong. So good. And going back to what you said, sometimes Al makes the best version of a band song that even more so than the band could actually do. And I
really
think
though
right
this belongs on every They Might Be Giants greatest hits compilation.
Yeah, that's a top five They Might Be Giants song.
It seriously
sure.
is fantastic. And the point that I made in our previous recording of this episode is that this was my introduction to one of my favorite bands. I spent the rest of the 90s trying to figure out what band sounded like this. I did not know who they were outside of the Tiny Toon Adventures episode that was probably around this same time when I saw it. I just...
That's the States of the States song? Like all the states?
No, that's actually John Linnell's solo and not They Might Be Giants. On the Tiny Toon Adventures episode where they do like music videos, they have Particle Man and Istanbul, Not Constantinople, Tiny Toon Adventures music videos, which are on the They Might Be Giants music video DVD collection.
But you're talking about this song where they name all the states in America? Is that what you're talking about? Didn't Tiny Toons, or was that Animaniacs?
That's Animaniacs.
Oh, my God.
I thought so you sorry. Were asking about the song where They Might Be Giants name a bunch of states. There's an album called State Songs by John Linnell, solo of They Might Be Giants.
Yeah, I was thinking of the Animaniacs one, but that's great. How many times have you seen They Might Be Giants live, Jay?
Zero. Jay.
What?
I've never seen They Might Be Giants.
Shut up! Are you for real?
I'm for real, yeah.
How? The way you talk, you're like a bigger fan than I am, and I've seen them at least three or four times.
Well, maybe that's not an accurate measure of fandom. Maybe it's not about how much money you spend on a band for how much it really means to you. There's no question you have given Weird Al more money with your VIP vanity tour experience. And in no way do I feel like my fandom is in jeopardy when I sit down to talk with you about the man.
All right, but how many of your children have you taken to see They Might Be Giants?
None, because I know when to pull out.
Body count, body count, body count.
Yeah, motherfucker!
With Everything You Know Is Wrong, our death toll is going up by one for the line in the third verse where he says he got a paper cut and, well, to make a long story short, it got infected and I died. So it is a self-death. But we're going to go up by one right here. And I'm going to say it right now that for the content of this record, our death toll is low.
Really?
For the amount of violence we're about to cover in lyrical content, the number of people, human beings, that wind up dead at the end of it, alarmingly small.
All right. Let's get to number three. This is a little ditty called Cavity Search.
My teeth are a fright. Got a huge overbite. Numb me, drill me, floss me, bill me.
Cover of Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me by U2. Yet again, from another movie soundtrack from Batman.
From an excellent movie soundtrack.
Batman Forever or Batman Returns? Batman Forever.
Batman Forever.
Yeah.
What
else was on that album that makes it great?
Well, so it was Kiss From a Rose by Seal, right. Was the big hit from the movie. Yeah. But that soundtrack was, outside of She Don't Use Jelly, my introduction to Flaming Lips.
Okay.
And there's some other gems on there. You're gonna make me look up the Batman Forever soundtrack right now.
That's fine. You can do that. What was the Flaming Lips song on there? I don't remember that at all.
Bad Days off of Clouds Taste Metallic.
Hmm.
So yeah, we've got Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me by U2. We've got PJ Harvey. We've got Brandy. We've got Seal. We've got Massive Attack. We've got Mazzy Star. We've got The Offspring.
Oh,
Nick
wow.
Cave, Method Man.
That is a 90s all-star lineup, and I'm sure they're all
Sunny
songs.
Day Real Estate? It's a really good soundtrack, and I suggest people check it out. And support Seal. He can't be doing great right now. There's no way that guy still has his 90s money.
Yeah, but he's still got, what's her face, Heidi Klum now.
Go download a Seal record, everybody.
Also, go see Batman Forever. It's more fun than you think it is.
I love Batman Forever. I think it's a great flick. And I also think that this is a good U2 song and a great parody of a U2 song. I think, obviously, most people now would probably not even know this was a U2 song. This is not the U2 song to pick if you're going to do one U2 parody. But in 96, it was a big hit. And I also think that the puns, the wordplay of numb me, drill me, floss me, bill me is hysterical. I love that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when we originally did record this, I was like, I thought for sure that the last rhyme was not going to be bill me. I thought it was going to be something else that would have been very easy to work in the dental world, but I can't remember what it was.
I think you said fill.
Fill me, that's right. And then our second dental song, right? What was the other one?
Yeah, we went back to the dental well.
What was the first
this
one again?
Song, I do want to point out that my dad would skip it when he allowed me to have this be the CD that we put on in the car, which is a fair thing to say. It took some convincing the amount that I wanted people to listen to this CD with me. But he would skip this song because of the accurate sample of a dental drill.
And yeah, he's got the breakdown, right? That bridge with all the dental sound effects.
Yeah, he refused to listen to it.
That's fair.
So, Dad, you might be the reason I don't like you, too. Maybe that's on your shoulders.
Also the reason you have bad teeth.
Hey, we're working on it.
Track four, Calling In Sick.
When I'm sick of taking abuse, I just make up some lame excuse. Freedom's just 7 digits away.
Kind of his grunge pistachio kind of.
Yes, there's that 90s sound that we were wondering where it was on the previous album. Like, that wasn't even the sound of alternative radio anymore by the time this record came out, but I'm still glad that he gave us a grunge era alternative radio song, because that was a sound that was so prevalent that this song is absolutely not a specific pastiche of any one artist, in my opinion. This is just what generic radio sounded like in the early 90s.
Yeah, like any one-hit wonder kind of 90s alternative band kind of sounded
Candlebox,
like
Candlebox.
Yeah.
Any of those.
Like the Nixons.
Seven Mary Three.
Yes. I once brought Candlebox coffee. Fun fact. They weren't very nice. I don't even think they said thank you.
That's awful. You're hearing it here, everybody. We got that Candlebox coffee-related dirt that you've been waiting decades to get your hands on. Also, support Candlebox. There's no way that they still have 90s money, and they're not married to supermodels. So
that is true.
Go download a Candlebox album. Don't do that.
In fact, I heard the drummer fell into one of the crevices in Seal's face.
Oh, that was harsh, man.
Oh, jeez. All right. Track 5. It's the polka.
Oh, and what a polka.
Let's do it. The alternative polka. One of my all-time favorite polkas. Let's hear it.
I wanna, you like an animal.
You had to jump all over the place to get all the parts that you wanted to make sure you gave their due time in the spotlight in there.
Yeah, I might have edited a little bit. Did I? I don't remember.
You did, but it's fine because I could have talking points for literally any part of this song. What a polka, dude. This one rules. It's so good. And this was the first one I heard because this was my first Weird album. This was my introduction to the polka per album. When I went back, I was disappointed with a few because of how good this is. It's incredible. And the point that I always make with the polka, when it sounds really good to do a song with polka instruments, it always makes me happy. That clip, that Nine Inch Nails part, man, that song sounds awesome with those unconventional instruments playing Trent Reznor synthesizer lines.
Yep. Fun fact, too, much like I edited that a little bit there, Weird Al had to do a little editing itself because he had a bit of Buddy Holly from Weezer in there. And Rivers Cuomo, what the hell? He changed his mind. He originally said it was cool, and then he asked him to cut it out. How lame is that?
Well,
I'd love to hear more about that.
As a skinny white dude with thick glasses that, you know, we all get told that we look like that guy and about five other people all the time.
But yet later on, he's like, hey, Weird Al, we love you. Come out and play this mediocre cover of Toto's Africa on stage with us and be in our videos, right? What's up with that? I would have held a grudge if I was Al.
Well, there is a Weezer song in a future polka.
Is there?
But it's not a polka that's as good as this. And it's not Buddy Holly, which is the huge hit. However, that's fine. Good riddance, Weezer. We did just fine without you. I also love Weezer. Sorry, Rivers. But we did just fine without you. This polka is awesome. And I love that you included the Alanis Morissette part.
Yeah, it's great.
Because another little chanoin tidbit, Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill was the first compact disc that I owned. Not that I bought with my own money. I got it as a birthday present with my first Discman.
Ooh, Discman. Oddly enough, I also, my first CDs were not purchased. I got them for free. I feel like I went almost like a year without actually buying CDs.
Were you a DJ already at that time?
No, I'd won some CDs off the radio. I think since we're like back to the futuring this, I think I talk about this in a later episode with Heels. But I won them off the radio. I won a third bass, two third bass CDs and two Lisa and the Cult Jam CDs, as well as concert tickets to both of them. And then I think after that was Christmas and I got some CDs. I didn't even have a CD player when I won those. And then I think Christmas came. I got like a boombox for the CD player and a bunch of CDs then. Then after that, I think I scammed Columbia House for 12 CDs for a penny.
Yeah, everybody did that.
Yeah, so I don't even know like when I bought my first CD for full price anyway. But fun
my CD subscription service in the 90s was actually Christian music.
Oh, jeez, really?
I got a whole lot of Five Iron Frenzy and Reliant K and OC Supertones.
And Amy Grant.
I was doing research for future gravy endeavors.
All right, track 6. It's Since You've Been Gone.
Since you've been gone. It's like I got an ice cream headache that won't go away. Ever since the day you left me, I've been so miserable, my dear. I feel almost as bad as I did when you were still here.
Love that song so much. I change what part of the a cappella harmony I sing while I'm listening to it in my car frequently. I'll usually restart it because I want to do it again, being a different Al.
Through a long story I won't get into here, I'm friends with the guys in the a cappella group Straight No Chaser, who are pretty famous. They get out there, they tour and everything themselves, and they opened up for Weird Al at the Hollywood Bowl, believe it or
wow.
not. And I texted my buddy Seggy, who's in the group, and I said, hey, when you guys open for Weird Al at the Hollywood Bowl, please tell me that you did his one a cappella song since you've been gone, like as a cover. And he's like, nope. And I was like, lose this number.
Yeah.
Like, how cool would that have been if they busted that out, opening for Weird Al, like did a tribute a cappella version? Because you know he wasn't doing that at that time. That was like, you know, just traditional Al set, I'm sure. He wasn't pulling
tradition
that
out. Al, yeah.
Tradition Al. But yeah.
Well, he can't really do this song live because he records every part of the a cappella group. And there's not actually seven Weird Al's, everybody. It would be very difficult for him to do this live.
Yeah. And I love the twist in the song. It sounds like a hashtag scorn lover. And then it's, the whole thing was bad the whole time at the end. Because that was the very end of the song, I think, that we just
heard. Yeah, well, it sounds like a genuine love song. Yeah. And then the twist at the end is that he actually hates you. Yep. Surprise! I also want to point out that I sing different parts of the harmony every time. It does not matter which part I'm currently singing, though. When we get to this part of the song, I will always, 100% of the time, do the yap yap dip a doo dap dap dip a doo dip a dum 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 dum.
I won't ask you to do the multiple parts, because we already did that bit last episode, I believe.
Thank you.
Where I took you singing different parts of the song and threw it as a secret Marvel-esque post-credits.
I wasn't even expecting that. And can I say that not knowing you were going to do that, it sounds awful when you put the three things that I sang trying to harmonize together, because I wasn't actually trying to make a three-part harmony.
Well, I'm glad it made you cringe.
But we can move on to track 7 because this is my favorite parody.
Before we get to that, well, why don't we jump in since we're kind of at the halfway mark of the episode, and talk to the man who wrote the Bible. He wrote not one, not two, not three. I think he's got 4 books about and also written with Weird Al. Let's get into the parts that we saved with the man, the myth, the legend. He used to run the AV Club. He's written many books, including, like I said, Weird Al, the coffee table book, the Weird Accordion to Al, coloring books. Let's get into it. It's us chatting with Nathan Rabin.
Hey, thanks for having me. It is a pleasure to talk about Weird Al Yankovic in any context.
Yeah, man. So you're going to have to fight Jay because he has so much to say about this album because it's his all-time favorite. I don't know. Is this one your favorite? What's your favorite? Yours? Oh, you told us because you wanted to do it originally.
Oh, yeah. Well, we did it already. I'm 45 years young.
Hey, same.
Because of my youthful, ebullient spirit. I kind of got into Weird Al at the very beginning.
Yeah.
I had the single, man. I was 3.5 years old. And I said, this kid is going places, which is weird because I myself was only 3 years old. I was a kid who grew up on Weird Al Yankovic. And I feel like I was very fortunate that the first album that I ever had, other than Michael Jackson Thriller and Huey Lewis in the News, was an album called Weird Al Yankovic in 3D.
Yep.
And I was like, holy moly, this is the most amazing album I've ever heard. This man is a genius. I will devote my adult life to singing this man's praises. I will someday be asked to write his coffee. I mean, again, I was like Nostradamus. That is far and away.
It's a good one.
Now, it's funny. So, Nathan, I discovered you. So, unbeknownst to myself and Jay, so we were referring back to the Weird Al book, which we were calling our Bible. We were kind of fact-checking ourselves at the beginning. That book I actually brought when I went to the tour. I had the VIP ticket. So, I brought the cover of that book. I had Al sign it for my kids. So, we got that up in my son's room. And we were referring back to it. And then in doing research for the other episodes, I'm like, oh, I found Nathan Rabin's Happy Place, which is your website, which is insane. I'm like, oh, this guy's got extensive research. And I'm like, I know that name from somewhere. Where do I know that name from? And oh, yeah, it's on this autographed book cover that's sitting in my son's room. I'm like, oh, he wrote the book. Oh, it's all coming together now. And I'm like, we probably got to invite this guy on the show as the guy who literally wrote the book.
The first several times Jay said your name, I could have sworn he was saying Nathan Raven, so I kept expecting you to be like some mall goth dude who's watched The Crow way too many times.
There's a television program called BoJack Horseman. And I guess its creator was a fan of me as well as a fan of Weird Al Yankovic, because one of the background gags was they had a critic named Nathan Raven.
Oh, nice.
There was a TV critic, and yeah, it was, he wrote in my acerbic voice there. So I was like, holy crap, that is incredibly, incredibly flattering that these people know who I am. And that I gave a very negative review of Who's the Bass in the world of BoJack Horseman. So I have been Nathan Raven. I've been parodied on BoJack Horseman, and it was an incredible incredible honor. And of course, you know, Al is Mr. Peanut Butter's brother on BoJack Horseman, which is really great. And yeah, Al has many wonderful qualities, one of which is he's really good at doing voiceover.
What about guitar solos on the roof in the rain? You ever rip one of those in like a trench coat?
Probably not there. But that was very, very exciting.
What's the story? How did I know Al contacted you on Twitter to write the book, right?
Yeah. This was maybe 10 years, 12 years ago at this point. And I was kind of getting back into a Weird Al phase. I was like, you know, they have all of Al TV on YouTube.
Yep.
So I was like looking at that. I'm like, wow, this is really great. And then, yeah, I got a direct message on Twitter saying, of all the writers in the world, I have chosen you to tell my story. So I was like, to say, me and my wife, we jumped up and down and said, oh, my God, we're going to be rich. Which is true in that we're rich in life experiences and rich in knowledge about Weird Al Yankovic. And when it comes to money, maybe a little bit different. But no, so that was just kind of the beginning, and that was 2000. And yeah, it boggles the mind that there is a book, and on the cover it says by Nathan Raven and Al Yankovic.
Yeah, man, it's awesome. And the latest one is takes song by song, which is kind of what we're gonna do for this album. And it is called, I don't want to mess it up, it's called The Weird Accordion to Al.
That's actually second to last or so, because after that I did The Weird A Coloring to Al, which was a coloring book with my brilliant, brilliant illustrator, Felipe Sobrero. And then we followed that up with an anomaly, a colored in book, where I said, you know, all of these coloring books, they're cheap. You can throw them out. You're not supposed to keep them around. I would like to do the opposite. I would like a version that's expensive, that you will want to keep in your home forever, and that endures. So we did the colored in version that I'm very, very happy with. My illustrator, he is also a colorist by trade. He does colors for stuff like Marvel and Star Trek and things of that nature. It'd be a shame to have somebody write a coloring book who's so good at coloring and then not use that. We're doing that, and it turned out really well. As a matter of fact, I just, not to name drop, but I just sent 14 copies of the book to Al today. It took a very, very long time to print there. But you never know, you know, what do you get the guy who has everything? And my answer is just lots of copies of my books.
Nice.
Hopefully he will like them, because he's been very kind to me, and the many, many books I've written about how great he is.
I'm going to order the colored in one, and I'm going to just sit around with a nice little jar of white out and just
color it. Make it an uncoloring book. Yeah.
Just eraser.
That's true. You could I like that idea.
Just a bleach pen like that you're supposed to use to spot wash your laundry. Weird Al seems like an obvious target just due to how many different colors you get to use in his wardrobe.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is part of it is, I mean, because our relationship started when I wrote Weird Al the book, and I'm like, this is easy because he's such a visual artist, and because, you know, he put so much thought and care into, not as my dog.
Also has a lot to say about Weird Al, wants to join in.
And most of the time I turn him down. I'm like, you make some good points. There's some persuasive barking, but I'm not going to kill teenagers who are necking in the park there.
So. Is your dog a Weird Albador?
My family, they all love Weird Al. including my dog.
Right. Does the coloring book have any like gatefold double page spread images of like the fat suit that you get to like?
It does not. It does not. Although,
centerfold style.
Again, I sent out the first copy of it, and one of the captions was for Living in America. And I meant to say that, you know, Al was the second hardest working man in show business. But as I am prone to do, I left out a word. So I said that Weird Al Yankovic is the second hardest man in show business.
Which, was that in the book right now?
And thank God he pointed that out. Yeah, he copy-edited
it. Oh, he proofread it. Okay.
He's copy-edited two books of mine at this point. And he pointed out that that was a humorous, and I think I had like five copies with the typo. One of which I sold for charity, and the guy
he corrected you that he's actually only the fifth hardest.
Exactly.
In show business,
yeah, coloring books in a different kind of bookstore.
And he has a chart, which I thought was kind of weird. But he's like, yeah, maybe you're confusing me with like John Holmes. And it's always a great thing when I can get Weird Al to make a PG-13 rated joke. You know, nice. I've gotten him to drink a beer in front of me, whoa, and I've gotten him to be PG-13. So I like to think that I'm a corrupting influence in the life of Weird Al.
Yeah, I think you're a bad influence on Al, and I feel like I need to keep you away from my friend.
Have you heard him curse? That was the question.
He does not curse.
No, won't curse, not even just in life.
No, he does not. I mean, again, he has a level of self-control that I find really, really remarkable, and I think is one of the reasons why he's so spectacularly successful for so long.
Nathan, please plug your website, social media, the books, all the stuff.
Sure. My website is Nathan Rabin's Happy Place. You can find it at my name, nathanrabin.com. I have many books about Weird Al Yankovic. My last book that I published was called The Joy of Trash, which is about things that are terrible rather than things that are wonderful, like Mr. Al. And then I just, yesterday, I launched the Kickstarter campaign for my next book, my ninth book, which we called The Fractured Mirror. And it's a massive book of about pretty much every movie about the film industry that has ever been released in the United States. And it was just really is a Kickstarter project we love today, which is very nice. And they did that for all of my Al books as well. So even without Al, I still have their seal of approval, which is very, very nice. And then, yeah, you can buy all of my Al books signed from my shop at my website, which you can find.
All right, Jay, let's get into our next track, which is Gump.
Again, this is my favorite parody on this record. Now I'm allowed to say it.
Another classic, perfect parody. The right time.
Absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
Right time, right place. And I think I've mentioned it previously on this podcast. I know I mention it in the future on this podcast, which, yeah, it is a little weird for us to be doing some time travel recording now where we know what comes down the line. But the President's United States of America self-titled was the first CD that I bought with my own money. So I love the original. I love that album still. I love that band still. I've seen them more times than I've seen They Might Be Giants. I absolutely love this parody. I think it's hysterical. I think it's very well-crafted and clever, like we always say. Everything fits in there perfectly. He really excelled at making a really good parody of the song Lump and a really good slash funny summary of Forrest Gump. Like, it's not just a retelling of events. There's jokes in there. There's funny lines and everything. I think he absolutely nailed it. And this song is where young 10-year-old Jay learned what inbreeding was. So bonus points for education.
Wasn't there a good video for it too? I feel like there was, right?
Great video, yeah. Direct parody of the Lump video.
Yeah. Fun fact, I've been to the spot in Savannah, I think it was, Georgia, where the Forrest Gump
in the Buggy Marsh?
No, not the Buggy Marsh, but the bench that Tom Hanks sits on in the beginning when he gets on the bus.
Oh, the Forrest Gump bench.
Yeah, the Forrest Gump bench.
I thought you were visiting Presidents of the United States of America landmarks.
No. Sorry. Those are the tours that you go on across America.
I would like to see the factory where the peaches are put into a can.
All right, track number 8, So Sick of You.
Until you came along, I never dated anyone that's low on the food chain.
Elvis Costello, Pistachio.
Dude, my only note for that song is I drew a heart. I love it. I love it so much. I love Elvis Costello, which, hello, other guy that skinny white dudes with glasses and sideburns get compared to frequently. There's really kind of a hierarchy of you get to learn how much the other person knows about alternative music based on which scrawny white dude with glasses they compare you to. If they say Rivers Cuomo, that's pretty base level. They give you an Elvis Costello, they're somewhere in their sophomore year of learning about music. If they go Buddy Holly, shake that person's hand, they're probably just going to say that Weeza guy, though. If you're in New England like I am, they get no credit. However, I'm a huge Elvis Costello fan. This song nails that sound. And
totally.
And a great, another hashtag scorned lover song, but a great one, and funny jokes, and so catchy and toe-tapping good. I drew that heart for a reason. This song rules.
So I'm a, you know, baseline Elvis Costello fan. I like his stuff. I'm not super into it. I actually got to meet the man when I worked in the radio days back in Long Island. All I wanted to talk to him was about was when he produced the Specials albums.
And he has a pretty storied music production history. Did some producing for Squeeze as well.
I was like, yeah, those guys are like all hate each other. Like, what was going on there? And he's like, no one asks me about this. He did not want to talk about it. I think he just kind of like wiped it from his memory bank. But he definitely like looked at me like, this is, you're the only psychopath who's ever asked me about what it was like to produce the Specials, Elvis Costello.
This wasn't on your ska radio show, was it? Because, I mean, par for the course, Costello.
I mean, it was in the era when I did a commercial radio ska show, but this was just off the air. This was just, he came into the station and was just kind of glad-handing everybody. He was not there just for me to be on my show to talk about producing the Specials, no. He was just in there to promote whatever the hell he was promoting at the time.
Oh, you just, in conversation, wanted to talk to him about
the
Specials.
Oh, yeah, off the air. This was just me, like, me alone in a room with Elvis Costello. I'm like, hey, man, you produced
Elvis,
Specials
good
album.
For you for cold-shouldering this man when you had the opportunity. Bravo. And there are so many of us that wish we had followed your lead.
Track number 9, Syndicated Ink, parody of Misery by Soul Asylum. A weird choice, so weird and so not that amazing that we're not playing a clip of this one, Jay.
Probably the weakest song on this album, I would say. Definitely the weakest of the parody. However, I disagreed with, I don't know that I disagreed with you and Nathan Rabin the first time that we produced this, but I was adamant that this is the better of the Soul Asylum big singles, because Runaway Train, obviously bigger.
Sure.
I do think that Frustrated Incorporated, Misery Inc., I think is what it's called.
Yeah, Misery is the original song, yep.
Is a superior song. I do like Soul Asylum. I don't love Soul Asylum. Don't go download a Soul Asylum CD, guys. They're taking you for granted. They don't need it.
Doesn't hold up.
They probably do. But I like this one. It's not just the weakest song on the album, though. It's probably like his weakest TV song, even. It's just kind of,
yeah,
I don't
want
to say phoned in, but definitely not up to the caliber of the rest of this album.
Yeah, I feel like with, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but over the years, the TV songs have definitely like just been in like a decline. You know, like that was one of his strong suits early on. But is it because like as technology comes in, like the technology kind of filled in the void of like the TV parodies?
Or maybe he just kind of feels like he's running out of directions to go with it. But it's one of the things people know him for. Like he's got to kind of feel when he's sitting down to write an album like, I have nothing more to say about food, but my fans will be furious if I don't snack a little bit on a weird album. If there's zero munching, I would probably be at least semi-disappointed. So maybe he feels like he needs to watch a little TV for us.
It's interesting that he'll do, like, in the TV stuff, it's like always just like list of lots of TV shows, but he never, but anytime it's a movie related song, it's just about one movie.
You just want Weird Al to cover Let's All Go to the Movies. You want that.
Uh-oh, he froze up. Oh, him to cover the intermission, like the intermission drive-in song?
Yeah, your Zoom froze for a second there, and I thought you were giving me the straight dead face no response that I always give you when I'm not amused with something that you just said.
No, but I wish it was. But your Zoom froze for me, so. Yeah, I would love, that would be a fun wild card. Like, we haven't had a wild card in a little while, I feel like, right? There's definitely not a wild card on this album.
No, this is a very straightforward Weird album where... Yeah.
But that'd be a fun one. I could see him doing a little, maybe like a polka version of the Let's All Go to the Lobby.
I mean, he did George of the Jungle. It's not a worse idea than that.
Absolutely. All right, track 10. This was so close to being my original pick.
Me too.
And it might, maybe it was in the first recording, but I don't know. It's I Remember Larry.
Say, do you remember when I broke in Larry's house?
Hashtag escalation song.
Yeah, super dark. Crazy dark song. And again, for 10-year-old Jay, who was the recipient of some substantial bullying, this kind of murder those who have wronged you energy was exactly what I needed to hear in 1996. This would carry me through for pretty much the rest of my educational career of just the idea that you could get through it by fantasizing about ending the lives of your tormentors. So obviously our death toll's going up by one here.
Yep.
Because Larry is very dead.
This is bizarre too. This one says, style parody of Hilly Michaels, who is the drummer for the band Sparks.
Of Sparks?
Yeah, which is insane because Sparks is already a super deep reference, as again we'll talk about later on, who I never heard of until... the documentary came out recently, let alone he's like, oh, I'm going to parody not only Sparks, but I'm going to go with the drummer's solo project and do a style parody of that.
It is like an obscure pull for sure, but here's my take on it. Al loves like new wave music and yeah. And always has, like since the 80s, that's always been what he gravitated towards with Devo and all the stuff that he picks out to, like Talking Heads, all that stuff that he picks out to really go into B-52s, go in and like perfectly replicate sounds. That's his preferred genre. He's very much a new wave dude. And he's got these deep cut interests that, yeah, like Sparks was never super big here in the States until like right now. They're kind of finally having their moment. But there's a lot of Tony OK on the first album, and there's a second Tony OK parody further down the line that we had no idea who that person was. He just kind of had these deep cut musical interests. He loves music and a lot of cool music, and he likes to emulate the stuff that he really likes. So I think that he was probably just way into Hilly, and he was hella into Hilly, and he wanted to represent him on the Bad Hair Day album. And thank you for doing so, Al. This song sounds awesome too. The instrumental is great.
Yeah, it's a fun song. Super, super funny, super dark, right up my alley. And now I have to go listen to both Sparks and Hilly Michaels' solo project and Frank Zappa. I have so much home wow.
Frank Zappa's also from the future. You don't need to listen to Frank Zappa yet.
Homework?
Zoom did not freeze, in case you thought that was what was happening. Working just fine, sir.
Track 11, the one thing I do remember from our Nathan Rabin episode, this was his favorite parody on the album, and I disliked it so much that we don't have a clip of it because it's called Phony Calls, and it's a parody of TLC's Waterfalls.
He was offended by the fact that you did not have a clip. However,
I'm okay with
the one stone I'm going to throw at Mr. Nathan Rabin is that he called Waterfalls by TLC a perfect song, and I have not stopped laughing at that sentence since it came out of a human being's mouth.
Shots indeed fired.
A perfect song. Waterfalls?
My main...
Lisa Left Eye Lopez's verse is good, but a perfect song?
It's catchy, the original, for sure. I'll give it that.
Sure, it's a quintessential it's 90s R&B pop hit. A perfect song, though, and not nowhere near a perfect parody. I think one of your original complaints was that it's called Phony Calls and that it's like a forced pun because no one ever called a prank a phony call.
Yeah, the chorus is, don't go making phony calls, and nobody calls it that, Albert Aloysius Yankovic, if that's your real name. It's a prank call. It's a phony phone call. It's not a phony call. That's ridiculous. You cannot base the entire song on a false premise like that. That's like Billy Joel, like Tonic and Gin level terribleness. Like if the song was, instead of called Piano Man, it was called Tonic and Gin. Like that's how bad this is. And I just bought a $100 ticket to go see Billy Joel by myself, mind you.
Oh, I saw that. Should I tell my Billy Joel joke that I posted on your social media post?
Please do.
Why can't Billy Joel eat breadsticks?
Why, Jay? Because that's how jokes work.
Because he's celiac.
That was a one too many acts, so you also just blew the punchline.
Oh, so I'm an ack hack. I apologize. I felt very much like that comic strip Kathy when I said ack so many times right there.
I gotcha. So, yeah.
You can move on from phony calls.
Wait, there's another thing that I hated about it I should point out. Let me look at the lyrics again. I think there was something either funny or bad, like...
You said
he lifts a sound clip from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
In the bridge. Just
you
just
were
straight
not
up
super
steals
pleased
it.
With that. Like, I mean, you think he stole it? Because the dude is known very well for asking for permission for things that he does not need to.
He might have asked permission, but I'm pretty sure it's just from the show. Like, usually if he's going to pull something like that, he'll get the actual... You know, the voice actors, or he'll get somebody from the band or something to do something. You know, like the real person will do like a cameo. But I'm 99% sure that he just like, maybe he got permission.
The clip
but just
of
took...
Bart calling Moe's Tavern.
Yes, from The Simpsons, which is terrible.
I will say in this song, he does say if they ever figured out where you was calling them from, they'd come and bust your head right in with a ratchet. And then in the Simpsons line, the Simpsons clip, there's a line from Mo where he says, I'm going to find you. I'm going to carve my name into your back with an ice pick, which our body count is not going up on this song. But those were both very violent images for me to encounter in this song about, hey, kids, wacky prank phone calls. Isn't this fun? No, Al, it's not fun. People's heads are getting bashed in.
So, yeah, confirmed. It's just straight up from a Simpsons episode. It's from season 2, episode 35. It's as lazy as calling it phony calls. So, moving on. Wrapping up the album, oftentimes we'll have an epic here. Oftentimes we'll have a super dark Armageddon-like song. Sometimes we'll have a holiday song. And we're wrapping this one up with another classic Al original, The Night Santa Went Crazy. And he ground up poor Rudolph into reindeer sausage. He got Dancer and Prancer with an old German Luger. And he slashed up Dasher just like Freddy Krueger. And he picked up a flamethrower and a barbecue blitzer. And he took a big bite and said it tastes just like chicken. The night Santa went crazy. The night Kris Kringle went nuts. Now you can't find... Did we ever decide if the death toll counts animals? I think it does, right?
Oh, we counted animals, but we kind of need to in this case because, as previously discussed, we go by explicitly mentioned deaths. You need to outright tell me that somebody died. He never does that for anything other than a reindeer in this song. So at the end of The Night That Santa Went Crazy, our death toll goes up by 7 reindeer and 0 human beings. It never goes further than like holding the elves hostage and tying up his helpers. Like it never, there's definitely implied deaths. And when in the previous recording, Nathan calls it like, you know, dozens of people. I'm like, Nathan, nobody dies. They don't, I understand that it's an implied murder. I agree. But this is like a PG version of the the Santa Claus related events, and we don't get to see the violence, so unfortunately I'm not going to be able to move that dial up on the death toll other than for Seven Reindeer.
Wow.
This has to be your favorite original on the album, right? You haven't picked one yet.
No, I went with Everything You Know Is Wrong, even though I think originally I might have said I Remember Larry, but it was so long ago. Did you know there's an extra gory version of The Night Santa Went Crazy, Jay?
I did, yeah, and it's on I think it was a CD that was released as, like, it's also very hard to find, but it's called Medium Rarities, and it has all of the hard-to-find Al tracks, and it's got not just that, like, extra violent version of The Night Santa Went Crazy, it's got a karaoke version of Since You've Been Gone, the a cappella song, where all of the other Al's are in there except for the main one singing.
Oh, wow.
The lead vocals.
I was going to say, what is it, just a blank track of
silence? It's just silent. The karaoke version of an a cappella song is just
silence.
2 minutes of silence.
Some other fun notes from this album. There were a bunch of songs that either kind of got rejected or like yanked at the last time. Yankovic.
Hit me with them.
Well, we all know about Amish Paradise, of course. We had an Offspring song. It was supposed to be a parody of Come Out and Play called Laundry Day. Never saw the light of day.
And on the next album, there would be Pretty Fly for a Rabbi, which
yes.
I'm happy about. I'm happy that they made that decision to hold off on the Offspring parody.
Yeah, the jury is out whether like what exactly happened there. The original U2 parody was supposed to be a parody of Numb.
I have it right here. He was going to do a parody of Numb by U2 that would have been called Green Eggs and Ham.
That's right.
A song in which Yankovic recited various lines from the Dr. Seuss book of the same name. That would have been your wild card, Jay.
Yeah. I mean, the song was pretty big at the time. But yeah, the Dr. Seuss camp said no to that one, Jay.
I have here that likewise, he wanted to turn I'll Be There for You by the Rembrandts into I'll Repair for You, which is pretty funny to me. I would have liked to hear that. That's the one of these that I would have liked to hear, and it would have been about the 90s sitcom Home Improvement. Why didn't you record that? Oh, the producers of Friends did not want the theme song to get overexposed and refused permission. Hold on. You did not want the Friends theme song to get overexposed? That's the only Rembrandt song that anybody knows. No one's shouting out, "This house is not a home without you."
And then the last one was a parody of the Beatles' Free as a Bird. And Paul McCartney gave the thumbs up to that. But then he said, wait a minute, John Lennon wrote that one. But he had to defer to Yoko. And then Yoko said no. So Yoko Yokoed Weird Al. She Yokoed a Weird Al song.
Not only that, but Gee, I'm a Nerd might have made it so that like White and Nerdy never happened. If we got a nerd anthem earlier in the... Although maybe it would have just become another category of Al song and we would have had a ton more of nerd songs.
That's true. And speaking of songs that have never been or never will, since we're like recording this into the future and in the past and then into the present again, Jay, we're going to do a little Weird Al original album battle where Jay and I are each going to come up with our own unique original Weird Al bums that we think would be awesome if Weird Al came out with like today or when this comes out. And I'm curious, Jay, as if you've been working on that or not, how it might be coming along for you, your original Weird Al bum.
Yeah, we are working on if there were a 15th Weird Al bum, how would we put it together? What topics would we tackle? What songs would we parody?
What
originals
be involved?
Who would we pistachio? And yes, of course, I've been working on this. Are you kidding me?
I have a feeling you're going to come with like music and everything.
I'm in the studio currently trying to record my own backing vocals so I can give you a karaoke version of my a cappella song.
Oh my God, this is amazing. I can't wait for that.
Before we cap the discussion on Bad Hair Day, we do at least need to discuss a little more depth the Coolio thing. So Coolio's, it might have been like the label originally gave Al permission, and then when the song was like actually coming out, Coolio turned around and said that He had told them he wasn't really cool with them doing it. He thought that the subject matter of Gangsta's Paradise was too serious and too... You couldn't mess with it. And he actually says in an interview from back then, it ain't like it was Eat It. And no, it's not, Coolio. It's not like any song you wrote ever got big enough to be considered at a parallel with Eat It. And the only reason people still know who you are is they're either Weird Al fans or oddly watch a lot of Kenan and Kel in 2022.
Yeah.
They've since made amends. He's come around and said that it was stupid of him to put up such a stink back in the day. Probably because he's going, I mean, I owe that guy a debt of thanks. People come up to me all the time and say they love Amish Paradise.
It's a fun story. My buddy Mike from the Masters of None podcast has a fun Coolio story. In a nutshell, he was a PA on Hollywood Squares back in the day.
Was Coolio a square?
He sure was. So Coolio rolls in, as rappers did in the early 2000s, with his posse. They were all...
Was Whoopi the center square at the time?
I don't know, but I do know that Henry Winkler was like the executive producer, so his boss was Fonzie.
Awesome. How I cool love Henry that? Winkler.
Yeah. So,
a huge Winkle head.
He was the original Winkle boss. He was the Winkle boss. Sorry, Winkler boss. Coolio rolls in with his posse, as rappers tended to do. They're in their little dressing room, smoke pouring
2022
out.
2022 rappers, you got posses? You rolling around solo?
Wait,
tweet
what?
Us. Tell us. Tell us how you travel, modern rappers.
At Weird Albums Pod. So Coolio chilling in his dressing room. You're some sort of funky smelling smoke pouring out from under the door, as per usual. And all the guests had, you know, have little gift baskets in their dressing rooms, as they do when you go onto a TV show. And at the time, the what were they called? It was like a towel, but like a robe, but like a blanket, like a slanket.
Oh, a snuggie.
A snuggie. Yeah. So that was one of the gifts that was in the gift basket. So at one point,
if we were a team playing Taboo, I feel like we would do very well.
Yeah. So at one point, my buddy Mike is walking down the hall. The door flies open before he even has a chance to open it. Smoke pours out like the Spicoli van in Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Coolio comes out holding a snuggie. And he's like, yo, my man. What is this? To which Mike responds, it's like a blanket, but you wear it. To which Coolio stares at him for a second, like gives him kind of the side eye, looks back into the room. He's like, yo, it's a blanket, yo. Yeah, that's it. And then he escorted Coolio to the
So they had several square. Minutes of discussion of what the hell could this soft, fleecy thing with a neck hole possibly be.
It's a blanket, yo.
Coolio could have branded it and come out with the thuggy in that moment if he had a better head on his shoulders. Guys, go download a Coolio album. He does not have thuggy money coming in. All right, well, this was worth doing again, I feel like.
Just for that joke.
I enjoyed it just as much the second time around. God, I love this record. And let's give you a final death toll here. We started at 7,425,504. Only two human beings died here. So we are at 7,425,000,506 and seven reindeer. And then still on there, we have several rats and flies from the good old days, which was the original animal entry, which is why I'm saying yes, absolutely, the reindeer count.
Love to hear it. Thanks again to Nathan Rabin. Check out Nathan Rabin's Happy Place online. Check out all his weird album books, nathanrabin.com. I honestly do love the Weird Accordion to Al. It's awesome, man. Like literally a page or two on every Weird Al song. It's like 500 pages. It's very great, and it's been a huge help, as has been the Bi-Bal, the Weird Al coffee book table book. So
yeah, and the Weird Accordion to Al comes from his blog, where he did like an entry for every single Weird Al song, and those have come up many times where I've been looking for information on something. Those blog entries will come up and have been very helpful.
Jay, well done. We will talk to you in 2 weeks. Don't forget to like us and give us 5-star ratings on all your podcast apps, and subscribe and do all the things, and Instagram at Weird Albums, and spread the word. What's next, Jay? What's the next album?
So the next album is going to be Running With Scissors. And you know what? I'm going to throw a little plug just because it's been a couple episodes at the end here. I'm still on Stand Up Records. I still have comedy albums for you to listen to. Guys, go download a Jay Schoenoyn CD. Okay, he's really hard up right now. He's trying to go on vacation to Universal Studios, and his awful dictator of a co-host is making him re-record episodes instead.
Everybody, support Jay's Harry Potter habit, will you? Buy him a butter beer, whatever the hell they drink over there.
Have you had it? Dude, it's awesome. I cannot wait.
It's all right.
It's the best transphobic soda on the market right now, by far.
All right, we should go because my stomach is JK growling. All right, we'll talk to you next week on Weird Albums. I'm Jay for Jay Shinoin. See ya.
You're the worst.
Weird Albums.
Hashtag bidibidip.